Welcome to Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have your company this morning. Any successful search for extraterrestrial life that is similar to that here on Earth requires finding planets outside of our solar system that could support it. There are many thousands of planets within observable distance to the Earth, but most of these exoplanets don't have the requisite Earth-like properties to sustain carbon-based life forms. Dr. David Latham is leading a team at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics that's confirming the existence of exoplanets that are similar to Earth. He was also in Milwaukee in April to give the 8th annual COIN lecture in astronomy and astrophysics at Marquette University, and he stopped by the Lake Effect studio then to explain how his specific research fits into the greater search for Earth-like planets.
I like to say that we live at a very special time in the history of astronomy. We are poised to find planets enough like the Earth that we could imagine them being comfortable for life as we know it. I don't mean the giant planets, the gas giants like Jupiter, which are big and easy to detect and characterize. I'm talking about small planets, ones that might be rocky, could have surfaces, could have water on the surface if they are at the right distance from their host star, so the temperature could be right, the water could be liquid. There could be secondary atmospheres. The original atmosphere of light gases like hydrogen and helium have blown away and been replaced by more interesting atmospheres with molecules like water and carbon dioxide, the kind of material you need for, I call it, the invention of life. And we're very close to being able to do that, to identify, discover, and even characterize such planets, and hopefully do spectroscopy of their atmospheres so we can learn what kind of an atmosphere they have. There's even some hope that someday we should be able to detect molecules that are the product of life. If there's enough life, such as we have here on Earth, to influence the biosphere, create molecules of gases that we could detect, then by remote sensing we could see if there are signs of life on those planets. So that's the long-range picture I have.
Which is just fantastic. Even though in our lifetimes it's unlikely we could ever get to any of those planets once they're identified, but just knowing they're out there and that there might be other beings doing similar things that we are.
Yes, it's the great question. Are we alone?
Right now, I'm assuming that the work you're doing is looking for characteristics that we would recognize as life. Is that correct?
Well, that's the easiest thing to do. It's like the drunk looking for his keys under the lamppost. So we're starting by looking for life that is carbon-based chemistry and needs liquid water, we think. But actually, we have to consider a larger set of possibilities. And I'm part of an initiative called the Harvard Origins of Life Initiative, which is a multidisciplinary effort involving people studying how to make cells, biochemists, and astronomers. And the role of the astronomers is to characterize the sorts of planets that might be out there in our galaxy and to determine whether the atmospheres are like the ones we're used to in the solar system or whether there might be other global geochemistries. And the whole idea is to restrict the possibilities for these people trying to figure out how to make life by telling them something about the raw materials that they have to work with.
How do you look for something that we don't know what it looks like? If there is a different sort of life, what kind of markers would you maybe expect to see that you'd say, well, maybe this might be life, but it might not be life the way we think of life?
We're actually having enough trouble figuring out what molecules might be good markers for life as we know it. That's an area of very active research. And thinking of what would be markers for life that we don't understand the biochemistry for, that's kind of outside the box right now. We're trying to do the easy problem. But the first step is to find planets that are enough like the Earth that we might have a chance of finding signs of life, the kind of life that we know.
So as an astronomer, how do you do that? What tools do you use to find those planets?
Well, right now, all the action is in the study of transiting planets. These are planets that happen to pass between us and their stars, so we see them blocking some light. And that gives us an idea of the size of the planet compared to the size of the star, because we see what fraction of the starlight is blocked. And if we can also measure the masses using the Doppler shift, Doppler velocities, radial velocities, then we have the mass and the size, and that gives us the bulk properties, for example, the density, because that depends just on mass and radius, and the surface gravity for that matter. And those are the planets where we are focusing our attention now. And the key tools are space missions, NASA space missions, one that's been in operation for 4 years now called the Kepler mission, been a very successful mission. And it is exploring the population of small planets. Its goal is to find out the frequency of Earth-like planets. It was built to do that job. It stares at just one area on the sky, 1/400th of the sky. So the next step after Kepler is another space mission called the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. That'll survey the whole sky, because undoubtedly Kepler has missed the nearest and brightest transiting planets. And those will be the primary targets for finding terrestrial-like planets, planets like the Earth, maybe bigger, easier to detect and characterize. And those are the ones where we hope that we might be able to study the atmospheres remotely.
Let's assume that everything happens as it's supposed to, and in 2017 the launch happens. How quickly will you begin getting data? Right away?
Right away, in the first month or two. The strategy is to cover the whole sky, and we do that with a set of 4 wide-angle cameras, and they stare at one part of the sky for a month. So we only find short-period planets, 10 or 20 days. So if they are orbiting a star like the Sun, they'll be much too hot for life. But if they're orbiting much smaller, cooler stars, then the zone where water could be liquid is much shorter, can be as short as a couple of weeks. Rather different from the year that you used to hear on the Earth. Annual year, yearly orbit would only be 2 weeks. So we'll get results pretty quickly, and they will be made public within 6 months so the whole community can work on the new candidates, the new bright nearby prime targets for studying transiting planets.
When you say nearby, how many light years are we talking?
Oh, well, they're still quite far away, 20, 50, even 100 light years away.
So, again, no real possibility of visiting any of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long time before we send anybody to Alpha Centauri, the nearest star system. We might send probes there eventually, but it's not against the law of physics, but it may be against the law of economics. Will our society be interested in funding that kind of endeavor?
Are they fascinated enough to give money? I mean, I guess that's the big question, you know, to motivate governments to actually fund this kind of research.
Well, NASA Astrophysics, which is all of astronomy and astrophysics supported by NASA, recently chose the test mission, an exoplanet mission. It was the only full mission that they chose in this particular round of competition that started 2 years ago. It's a long journey from the initial submission, 36 proposals in competition, down to 2 for the last year. Our concept study report went in last September, and there's a long process that leads to the selection of missions, and NASA is focused on exoplanets as one of the most interesting areas of science to support, and I think that's a reflection of the public interest.
David Latham, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and talking about this fascinating research, and best of luck with it all.
It was my pleasure.
Dr. David Latham is a senior astronomer at the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory and is leading a team at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics that's researching for and confirming the existence of exoplanets with Earth-like characteristics. He was in Milwaukee this spring to give the 8th annual COIN lecture in astronomy and astrophysics at Marquette University, and our interview with him first aired in June. We'll take a short break now, and then stay tuned for more of Lake Effect coming your way in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.